You know, we've been talking the last few weeks about the love of God, and we talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here in Psalms 119, verses 33 through 40, the psalmist is singing a love song to the Lord. In this segment of the song, we have several vivid pictures of the godly individual who has chosen to love God and his word. It's been said that a picture is often worth a thousand words, and I think that is certainly true, and especially so when it comes to the scriptures. God seems to delight in painting us pictures in order to teach us the wonderful truth of his word. And as we look closely at these pictures, the paths that we certainly have painted out for us to follow, of individuals who love God and his word, and I want each of us to see if we can find ourselves here in the path of walking in order to please and to love God with all of our heart. In other words, how does my life compare to these descriptions given by God of someone that loves him? I think if I asked you this morning, do you love the Lord? You would say, yes, I do. That's why I'm here. I love the Lord with all my heart. Well, the godly individual is pictured, first of all, as a sojourner. Life is a journey. The godly individual is a wanderer in this world. Here he has no continuing city, but he's seeking one to come. Like Abraham of old, he is a stranger and a pilgrim, or a sojourner, if you will, on this earth. This old world is not his home. He is simply just passing through. As one who is passing through an alien land, he needs help in finding the way. You know, we need to be able to find the path that God wants us to walk in. Here in our text, we see him asking God to guide him in order that we might find the path that God wants us to travel, and he promises to follow God's directions. First of all, he promises to follow God faithfully. He said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. He sees God's word as a path that is to be followed. It is a sure way through the wilderness of this old life. I think all of us as men kind of sometimes hate to ask for directions when we're going someplace. And the GPS has kind of helped that out just a little bit. But I know I have, when I was traveling for the college, I was told how to get there. And sometimes it was out in the Bojacks, and it was hard to find. And they gave me directions. And I didn't always maybe get the directions down pat, or they didn't always give me the right directions. But I would try to find my way, and sometimes after a while you stop and you ask for directions. Now, I know it goes against the grain for any man to stop and admit that he cannot find the way. Now, the wife, she said, why don't you stop? Why don't you ask? Just go up and ask for directions. They'll tell you how to get there. They know where it's at. Well, after a while we do that, and after a while we find where it is that we're supposed to be that morning. Well, the godly individual is pictured as a sojourner. He promises to follow God faithfully. He said, Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Now, God's word is a path that is to be followed. It is a sure way through the wilderness. I simply remind you this morning of the fact that We're just on a journey. We're just passing through. And I don't know just when it is that the Lord's going to say it's enough for us down here, but this is our proving grounds to prove ourselves worthy of either heaven or hell. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. The point is that we sometimes need guidance in our Christian life, and God has promised us to give us directions as we pass through this world. He gives us advice that we need to pay attention to and carefully do what he tells us to do, even though sometimes the Lord's directions may seem contrary to what our own thoughts might be. Now, we have an example of that in the case of Israel. As soon as the waters of the Red Sea closed behind them as they came out of Egypt, they faced the wilderness journey. There were no maps. There were no paths. There were no signposts. Just that pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which in those days represented God's leading for his people. And instead of heading straight across northward in a direct line for Egypt, the pillar of clouds turned southward. The path became indescribably difficult. They went over rocky ground. They went over bare limestone hills, and south of Elim, the Bible said they found themselves marching through a flat, desolate wasteland, a land that was inhospitable and forbidding, and after Mount Sinai, it got even worse. Now, what he's trying to tell us here is God does not promise us an easy path to heaven. It's not always easy to do what God wants us to do. He does promise, though, that he will give us a safe journey. He will take us all the way home. You know, I don't want to get just halfway there and then find that he's fair weathered. I know that he'll take me all the way from my new birth, all the way home, and he will welcome us home to that place that he has prepared for those that love him. Well, south of Elim, they found things a whole lot more difficult. And after Sinai, it was even worse. Teach me the way of thy statutes. He is promising to follow God's way faithfully, no matter how difficult the road might be. He is a sojourner in a hostile land, and he needs God to lead him safely home. I'm here to tell you that you've got somebody that's interested in the journey that you're making. He wants you to be successful. He wants to take you all the way home. Now, the psalmist also promises to follow God fully. He said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." Now, knowledge is one thing. Understanding is quite another. We gain knowledge of God by taking this book and reading the scriptures. It is understanding what we read, however, that enables us to see the sense of it all, and more often than not, prayerfully meditating on what God has said, it will give us understanding. So first of all, the godly individual, as seen as a sojourner, determined to be guided through the wilderness of this world by the Word of God. You see, the Bible said that the Word of God is our plumb line. It gives us directions. It tells us exactly how that we are to live and the right paths that we are to take. God always has our best interest at heart. And then secondly, the godly individual is pictured as a soldier. Life is a journey. We know that to be true, but it's also a battle. How many of you have faced a few battles the past week? I think all of us know what it is to fight some battles. Well, he said, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Now, there's a paradox here that says, I delight to do thy will, but Lord, make me do thy will. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some things that God has to make us do. But he doesn't have to make us do what we love to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I like homemade ice cream. You don't have to make me eat homemade ice cream. You don't have to make a little boy eat cookies. Now, you might have to make him eat spinach, or maybe make him do his piano lessons, but you don't have to ask him to go fishing but once. The only explanation for the psalmist paradox is that he's not talking just about one person here, but he's talking about two. The old man of sin that is within us says, make me. And it is that new man within us that says, I delight to do thy will, O God. The new man loves the path of God. The old man loathes that path, and so the battle is on. And I think all of us know that there are times in our lives when it seems like there's a battle raging on the inside. The old man raises up his ugly head, and the new man, and they battle it out. When I want to do right, evil is present with me, Paul said. Imagine having to ask God to make us do things. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I need a discipline that is higher than anything that I possess. I need you to make me to go in the path of your commandments. That is the mark of a true believer. And that's the difference between the prodigal's going away petition and his coming home petition. Remember, as he was leaving home, he said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me. Give me my inheritance. You see, he had already determined that he wanted to leave home. He was tired of all of the restraints of home, and he didn't want to be under the father's strict hand. And so he said, I want to leave home. Give me my inheritance. Then the scripture tells us that he was over in that far country. And the Bible tells us that he spent all of his money, wasted it in riotous living. And after it was all gone, there was no jobs to be had because there was a famine in the land. And so the Bible tells us that we see him over in the hog pen, and he's making a living slopping the hogs. And for a Jew, that was as low as you could go. I want to remind you that while he was there in the hog pen, though, the Bible said he came to himself and he said, this is what I will do. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to my father, Father, make me as one of your hired servants. And you remember the Lord, the master of the household, said to him that put the shoes on his feet, the shoes of sonship, put the robe on his back, and put the ring of sonship on his finger. For this my son that was lost is found. He's come home, and there was rejoicing. He said, Lord, make me, because I delight to do your commandments. I'm convinced that Christians from time to time need to say, Lord, I need you to make me be faithful to go to Sunday school and church. Lord, I need you to make me get up out of the bed. You know, it's easy just to lay there in that bed and just relax and think, well, I'll go next week. I'm here to tell you that sometimes God has to set maybe a little bit of dynamite under us in order to get us to do what he wants us to do. Make me, Lord, because I delight to keep your commandments. Well, then the scripture tells us, incline mine ear unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness, because he has a problem with covetousness to some extent. Most of us, to some extent, do. It is a good thing for us to be honest with God and confess the fact of our weaknesses. Lord, I want to do your will, but you know me quite well, and I know that, I know that you know me very well. So, Lord, tune my heart with your testimonies and not with the many things of this world that I find myself wanting. Well, how do you measure up to the struggles of life? Like the psalmist, do you realize that to be a good soldier, you must face discipline? And like the psalmist, is it your sincere desire to please the one who has called you in order to serve? Are you doing your best to walk in step, not with the crowd that's traveling the broad way that leads to destruction, but that narrow way that leads to heaven? Endure hardness, the Bible says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and do not get entangled with the affairs of this life, so that you may please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. While hopping about one day, a frog happened to slip into a very large pothole along a country road. All of his attempts at jumping out were in vain. Soon a rabbit came upon the frog that was trapped in the hole and offered to help him out. But he too failed. After various animals then had come from the forest, and they made 3 or 4 gallon attempts to help the poor frog get out, they finally gave up and said, "We'll go back and get you some food." They said, "It looks like you're going to be here a while." However, not long after they took off to get food, they heard the frog hopping along after them, and they couldn't believe it. "We thought you couldn't get out," they explained. "Oh, I couldn't," replied the frog. "But you see, there was a big truck coming right at me, and I had to." Let me remind you that sometimes we come to the end of life's journey. And as we come to that end of life's journey, we know that we have very little time in order to make things right with God. We're just passing through this old world. We are a sojourner. And I do want to tell you this morning that as a sojourner passing through, that I think all of us want to know that everything is right between us and God. We want to know that we're on the way to heaven when we die. We want to know that everything is right between us and God. And sometimes it takes us getting between a rock and a hard spot in order to wake us up. And when we finally realize that, hey, I've got to turn my life around, sometimes you've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And you've got to say, "Lord, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm not going to live in sin any longer. I'm not going to go to hell. Why should I go when you died upon the cross of Calvary in order to make it possible I didn't have to go? And I could go to heaven and live in that place that you prepared for those that love me." Well, I don't understand why anybody would not want to be ready to meet the Lord. And I hope that if you're here today and you're not ready to meet the Lord, that this will be the very morning that you'll come and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior." It's that simple. All you got to do is admit I've sinned against God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Confess, "Lord, I am a sinner and I want your forgiveness." And if we'll ask him, he'll forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, he said, "I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." So he's ready to forgive and cleanse you of all your sins if you call upon him this morning. So all that needs to be done is you call on him by faith this morning, and he'll meet you here. Let's bow for prayer.